Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Wildman, as the announcer just told you, and joining me in studio is Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Two thumbs up. Good morning, Tim.
And joining us from Studio Venus, Fred Jackson.
Back on Venus this morning.
All right, we're social distancing here. Continue to do so. Will we ever go back to non-social distancing? Fred, your thoughts?
You're the president.
Well, no, I'm happy to bring you back in studio.
Okay.
Actually, I like having distance between myself and other people. I don't really like people.
I guess I meant society in general.
Society.
Yeah, I think we. Eventually people get back to their old habits, and I think this will be. Oh yeah, you remember 2020 when we were all social distancing? Yeah. We'll laugh about it.
I hope. I got to tell you, I think people's psyche is already being changed. Mm-hmm. I know watching football games on television from years gone past, and like the other day, I was watching a game. I don't know what it was from 2012 or something like that. I'm going, look at those people.
How close they are!
They're just shoulder to shoulder yelling at each other. Mm. Don't they know they're? And then I'm going, wait a minute. You're thinking. Post-COVID.
That is true.
Yeah.
I've watched old hockey games and, highlights and stuff, and the people slamming the glass and they're turning and talking to each other.
Now you're thinking,
that is so
against
unsafe.
CDC rules. What are you doing, people?
And my personality was, my kids called me Captain Safety growing up because I was always giving these little lectures about how that's dangerous. Mm-hmm. And, you'd pass a dead armadillo on the side of the road, and I'd say, see, kids, do not do drugs. And so this is tailor-made for me to even go further,
This fits right into your...
Yeah. No, you can't have one of my French fries.
Here's the hypocrisy of it all. I mean, have you walked in Walmart lately? I'm sorry, folks, like over in the grocery section, they are not practicing social distancing. It's amazing. We hear it all, but you walk into a store and there's kind of practical things going on here. Yeah. There's two people reaching for the mushrooms.
Right.
Do you actually stand back and say, no, I'm going to wait until you're through. I'll stand back 6 feet here till you grab your box of mushrooms and I will. I haven't seen that happening since day one.
I know.
I'll tell you something else. Some of the, almost all these stores, they have the arrows.
Oh, yeah.
Where you go down this aisle from this direction. People pay no attention to that.
I tease my wife. I say, you're not in the right lane. You're in the wrong lane.
I know. I think people are about to get worn out with,
yes.
All this. Huh?
Absolutely.
So, plus the COVID, I know it's, going up some places, but for the most part seems to be stabilizing or subsiding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Huh? All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. If you want to go to Facebook or YouTube, you can watch us there. Facebook or YouTube, just type in Today's Issues on Facebook or YouTube. And you can follow us there. We're posting the stories that we discuss on our Facebook page. Abraham Hamilton III will be with us at the bottom of the hour. And then Ray Comfort will be with us at a quarter till the hour. He's got a new video out. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
And we'll let him tell you about that.
It's all very good, by the way. I've watched it.
Absolutely. All right. Brad, go ahead.
Yeah, I think in most places of the country, it's still against the law to buy votes. In fact, in Florida, it's a third-degree felony for someone to either directly or indirectly provide something of value to impact whether or not someone votes. So there are a law in the book. So here's what's going on. Billionaire Bloomberg, Michael Bloomberg, former mayor, wanted to be the next, wanted to be on the Democrat ticket, didn't make it. So now he's willing to spend $16 million just in Florida to pay off the fines of people, former felons, all right, pay off their fines because there is a directive, a law that's been passed in Florida that if someone gets out of jail, felon gets out of jail, they've done their time, and if they pay off their fines that they owe the state, they can vote. So what Michael Bloomberg is saying, I'm going to pay your fines for you so that you can vote in November. So the question is, and Congressman Matt Gaetz of Florida is now wants an investigation. He's asked the Attorney General in Florida to investigate whether it's legal for Michael Bloomberg to come in and go to these felons and say, I'll write you a check, pay off your fine so you can vote in November.
Well, it's I would guess that it is illegal if Michael Bloomberg tells them who he wants them to vote for. Don't you think that seems to me on the face of it to be illegal? If you say, I'll pay off your fine if you vote for Joe Biden, mm-hmm. or if you vote for candidate X, Y, or Z. But now if he just pays off their fine so that they can vote, I'm not sure that that would be, I'm not a lawyer, but it doesn't seem like there would be anything illegal about that.
Why is he, you're talking about felons?
Yes.
Why is he doing this?
Well, there are probably, what is it? Did I see a figure of over 30,000 felons in Florida? So it could be the
potential. With fines pending.
I think it's clear what he wants out of this, why yes. he's doing it. Mm-hmm. He wants them to vote Democrat.
Yes.
Now, I mean, it would be illegal.
So he's after the felon vote.
I guess he figures in a close election, 30,000 votes, if they actually went out and voted.
Yeah.
But 30,000 votes could change something.
Well, to answer Ed's question, here's the Congressman Matt Gaetz. Here's what he thinks is going on here. It's cut four.
In the moments before the show, Sean, I spoke to Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody. She says she is all over this. In fact, I believe there may be a criminal investigation already underway of the Bloomberg-connected activities in Florida. Chapter 104.061 Florida statute says that it is a third-degree felony for someone to either directly or indirectly provide something of value to impact whether or not someone votes. So the question is whether or not paying off someone's fines and legal obligations counts as something of value. And normally it would be very difficult to prove that that was directly linked to impacting whether or not someone was going to vote. But they literally wrote their own admission, Sean, in this document that they used to go fundraise from other people. They said the precise purpose of this fund was to unlock a portion of the black vote in Florida that they believed would go 90 to 95% for Joe Biden.
So there you have it.
Well, if they said that, that's clearly illegal.
I have a story here from something, the nymag.com, when I typed in Bloomberg, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the first thing you click on the internet is what you need to trust to go with. Am I right? I think that's what's made the world a better place. But here, this article, it does look like a legit news site. It's just got some information here that...
Is that New Yorker magazine? Is that what it is?
I think it is.
Okay,
New York
magazine.
Yeah, NYMag.com. It says, on Tuesday, Michael Bloomberg, a billionaire, announced that his political operation had raised over $16.1 million in the past week to pay off court fines and fees for 32,000 black and Latino ex-felons in Florida, allowing them to register for the upcoming election before the deadline of October the 5th. Why are white felons left off this?
Well, because that's a roll of the dice. I'm guessing. I'm just trying to get in Michael Bloomberg's mind, which now that I'm in there, it's scary. you're rolling the dice. If you're going by just race, you're thinking black and Hispanic are going to go overwhelmingly for Biden. White felons, it's up in the air. width that goes 50-50, why bother paying their fines off? Because this they'll cancel each other out.
This is so sleazy.
It is absolutely sleazy.
It's just done right out in the wide open for everybody to see. I'm not saying the Republicans aren't capable, aren't capable of being sleazy. Don't misunderstand me. But the Democrats just seem to have a special knack for it.
A gift.
They just have a gift of sleaziness that, you know, if I were given the sleazy Olympic awards or medals, I would have to pick the Democrats the gold, maybe the Republicans the bronze. You know, I don't know who wins the silver, maybe the Green Party. But here is a Democrat billionaire talking about buying votes, right? That's what they're always accusing Trump of. You're trying to do things to immorally to cause people to vote or not to vote
suppress the vote
or something like that. Here it is, Michael Bloomberg, a Democrat, once Republican, paying $16 million. This is how much he hates President
Trump.
Now,
he raised money for this.
Is that what the story said?
He says he raised.
Yeah. That's pocket change. That's Michael Bloomberg pocket change.
Okay.
Oh, that's a tip for Michael Bloomberg at a fancy restaurant.
$16 million, that is more than twice what I make in a year.
Yes, it is.
Far more.
In the past week to pay off court fines. So he's paying off the court fines and the fees of 32,000 black and Latino ex-felons in Florida in hopes that they'll go to the polls and put Joe Biden over the top in Florida.
Right.
That is
right next to the word sleazy in the dictionary.
Yeah. Now, we've all heard of politicians going after segments, you know, the women vote,
right.
the Hispanic vote, whatever.
But the gay vote.
I got to tell you, this is clever. I've never heard of an intentional effort to go after the felon vote.
Right.
Huh? I got to give it to Bloomberg and the Democrats for being creative here.
I would feel a little bit more open.
Ex-felon vote, I should say.
A little bit more open to this if Michael Bloomberg has always had a soft spot for ex-felons and getting them back into society. And he just said anybody who's not in prison, right? Anybody who has to have their fine paid off so they can vote in the upcoming election, I'm willing to do that. But no, how insulting is it to say only black and Latino ex-felons, because I know how you're going to vote. I mean, it seems like it would be insulting to blacks and to Latinos.
All right, we got it, Fred. Next topic.
All right, GOP-led committees have released an interim report on Hunter Biden and the Burisma probe. I think most of our listeners are familiar. It was a big story back several months ago. When the public learned that when Joe Biden was vice president with President Barack Obama, Barack Obama had put him in charge of the Ukraine, basically oversight of the Ukraine business. And at that time, there was an investigation into this Burisma company, big oil company. The prosecutor in the Ukraine was investigating them. And at the same time, Hunter Biden became a board member of that oil company. And there's been an investigation because, you know, did Joe Biden, Daddy Joe Biden, vice president, use his influence over the Ukrainian government because the pressure was on? Remember that Joe Biden was caught on tape basically saying, I gave the Ukraine, how many hours was it, to get rid of the prosecutor that was investigating the company? And by golly gee, that prosecutor was gone. Well, this morning, this interim report comes out, 87-page report. And here's what it says, stating the Obama administration officials knew that Hunter Biden's position on the board of Burisma was, quote, problematic, and that it interfered in the efficient execution of policy with respect to Ukraine. But the report says nothing was done. There were a couple of, I guess we would call it, whistleblowers at the time who went to the administration, said this is not good, and they were totally ignored.
Yeah, Hunter Biden joined this natural gas company Burisma in April of 2014. So this was under the Obama administration. Hunter Biden had no, absolutely no expertise in terms of natural gas or companies that distribute, produce and distribute natural gas. And Joe Biden, as vice president, was in charge kind of the administration policy, foreign policy with regards to Ukraine. Yeah, this whole thing stinks to high heaven. And of course, now Joe Biden, very believably, I think, said that he never talked with his son about his job, which is absolutely, I was just fibbing. it is not believable at all. You can't tell me that whenever Joe Biden and Hunter Biden got together, that he never said, hey, how's business? How are things going with that Burisma company? That you, I know they deal with natural gas and you know nothing about it, but how are things? Of course he's going to be talking to his son about his job. Now, this whole thing stinks to high heaven, and the fact that Joe Biden was bragging about getting what is essentially an attorney general fired because he was investigating the business that his son was involved in.
It was a quid pro quo, right?
Absolutely.
Joe Biden, the vice president at the time, told the Ukrainian government an ultimatum. You fire the guy looking into my son's, the business my son is affiliated with or works with, or we withhold money.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think he gave him 6 hours or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so the guy, so.
And Biden is seen bragging about it on video.
Now, didn't Hunter Biden get paid like $50,000 a month?
Some crazy amount of money.
But I got to tell you, I kind of think that this is baked in, as a lot of things are, negative and positive for both candidates, Trump and Biden. I think that most reasonable liberal or conservative people go, yeah, Hunter Biden was killing it financially because his dad was the vice president.
Right.
But then they say, like, that's the first time that's happened.
Yeah.
In politics. We all know that that's a part of the political world, especially in Washington, D.C. You see a lot of these Republican and Democrat senators and congressmen, they retire, resign, or get voted out, and they stay in D.C. as these high-powered lobbyists.
Yeah.
Huh?
And hardly anybody goes to D.C. and doesn't come out rich.
Right. Right. But we are talking about the guy who's going to be potentially the president, Joe Biden, and so people have to calculate, does that matter enough to not vote for him?
Right.
And I think most Democrats say, I don't like the way that looks, but it's not going to keep me from voting for Biden when the choices are Biden or Trump.
Right.
That's the way. Don't you?
Yeah, no. And when you say baked in, that's most people are making, just like a lot of people who support Trump, it's already baked in that, yes, he wasn't a nice person 20 years ago. Yes, I don't like some of the things he says when he tweets.
Right.
But I'm not voting for Joe Biden. That's what you're saying on both sides.
Both sides.
That's baked in.
That's baked in. All right. Go ahead, Fred.
Well, one more aspect on this story is I am predicting that you will not see this story in the mainstream media today as just reporting on the committee reports. I've already seen an Associated Press story this morning that basically, this is absolutely terrible what the Republicans are doing. It's all politically motivated. And they're quoting Joe Biden as saying, I did nothing wrong. And this is just an election ploy. That is the take. So if you see the story at all, it's going to be very sympathetic to Joe Biden and to Hunter Biden.
When it comes to the mainstream media.
Yep.
Listen, the mainstream media, as far as I know, you would know better, Fred, since you are dealing with all these websites on a regular basis. They pretty much ignored the foreign policy victories of the president in the Middle East.
Yes.
In terms of peace treaties, but, you know, between Israel and the UAE and then also Bahrain.
Mm-hmm.
Bahrain. Uh-huh. I mean, that was just ignored.
Yep. If it was reported, it was reported from the angle of the poor Palestinians. This doesn't do anything for them.
That's big progress in the Middle East, right mm-hmm. there.
Yes,
the Israeli with Arab countries.
Yep,
and signing peace deals and peace agreements. And Nancy Pelosi said that that was a distraction. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
No, she said good for the president trying to distract people.
Yep,
I'm paraphrasing, but that's what she said. She was talking about a big deal in the Middle East for peace. I think Biden commended Trump on this, if I'm not mistaken.
I think with the first one, the United Arab Emirates, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which was a smart move for Biden.
Yeah.
I think. And, you know, you do have a lot of Jewish people who are Democrats.
Right.
Mm-hmm. A lot of Democrats, yeah. I mean, the Jewish people probably 70-30 vote Democrat. Of a Jewish heritage. Now, most of these folks are not religious.
Right.
They're secular Jews. Maybe 80-20 Democrat. I don't know. But so
it would be smart for Biden, you're saying.
So there is tension. There is tension between the far left anti-Semitic. Imagine that. Tension between anti-Semites and Jewish people. but there's tension there in the Democratic Party because you have your anti-Semitic wing of the Democrat Party, which mm-hmm. is
Israel haters.
Israel haters, and they're the Bernie Sanders, even though Bernie Sanders is a Jewish background,
right?
But those people, Jewish, not so much Bernie Sanders, but people over there on that wing, Ilhan Omar, and those people.
Mm-hmm.
They think Israel is oppressing
yes.
the Palestinians.
Yeah, it's an illegitimate country.
Right.
And so that puts her at odds with, say, the Jewish people in the Democrat Party who that scares them.
Yeah.
You know, because they don't separate anti-Israel from being anti-Jew.
Yeah.
Right, which some people would try to dice it up that way. They would say, no, I'm not anti-Semitic. I'm not anti-Jewish. I just don't like the policies or the nation of Israel.
Right.
Well, that's almost inseparable to me to make that kind of an argument.
Yeah.
You're listening to Today's Issues. We'll take a break right here. And when we get back, Abraham Hamilton III will be with us.
Yeah.
I got a question for Abe, and that is, there are these states that keep announcing that they're going to allow votes to be counted via mail 3, 5, 8 days or longer after November 3rd. And my question is that constitutional? How long can you count? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It just seems to me, I don't know what it seems to. I want to know the answer to that question. What is the Constitution say about that matter? We'll be back momentarily with more of Today's Issues on AFR. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Jan Markell of Understanding the Times Radio.
Keep in mind, it says in Ezekiel 38, in the context being the Gog-Magog War, the Russian invasion of Israel, with many accomplices, including Iran and Turkey, that when that war transpires, Israel will be living securely.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. and we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My name is Dr. Andrew Fabich, and I teach microbiology here at Drew McConnell University. And so instead of trying to teach biology from this perspective that gives you this goo-to-you version of evolution, you get this perspective of this is who God is, this is who God has revealed himself to be, and he's revealed himself in nature, which is terribly exciting to study.
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically-centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. Shirley Udy of Kokomo, Indiana, needed new struts for her 2002 Chrysler. The mechanic said it would cost nearly $900. Shirley is an 85-year-old widow. She lives off Social Security, barely enough money for living, much less fixing a car. But thanks to a bunch of good-hearted mechanics, Shirley was able to not only get her car fixed, but they also changed her oil and topped off her fluids. The mechanics are volunteers with God's Garage, a ministry of Crossroads Community Church. Tom Smith opened the garage back in 2018 to help single moms, veterans, and elderly folks like Shirley. The work is done free of charge. The customers, well, they just have to pay for parts, and it turns out a good many local auto parts stores were more than happy to offer discounts. That meant Shirley was able to get her car repaired for just $263, thanks to the Good Samaritans under the hood at God's Garage. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Today's Issues is the name of this program. We thank you for listening. If you want to send us an email, comments@afr.net is the email address. comments@afr.net. And again, if you want to follow us on the internet, we live video stream the show. Go to Today's Issues, Facebook and YouTube, and type in Today's Issues, and you can watch the show there. And again, on Facebook, we post the stories that we talk about. So I'm Tim with Ed and Fred, and we thank you for listening. Joining us in studio now is our brother Abraham Hamilton III, host of the Hamilton Quarter each afternoon on AFR from 5 to 6 o'clock Central Time. Good morning.
Good morning.
Abe, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing well. Wanted to ask you some questions regarding these states. Last week or so, we've seen announcements by various states about their counting of votes. what states have made this an issue the last few?
Well, as far as I know about Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Michigan,
North Carolina. Those are the three that stand out that I'm aware that
okay.
actually.
Which had, one caught your actually, attention more than did the Pennsylvania?
The
one?
The Pennsylvania one.
Right, explain exactly what the situation is.
Yeah, well, as far as I understand it, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court made a ruling that would allow them to extend the time period for counting mail-in ballots for 14 days after the election day, November 3rd, which I thought was absolutely remarkable. And I want to make you guys help me make sure I don't misconstrue or conflate Michigan and Pennsylvania. But in Pennsylvania, I believe that they had to be postmarked by the election day, whereas the Michigan one did not, if I remember that correctly.
But Fred, do you know anything about that?
No, I don't know.
Well, I think that difference between in Michigan, and I may be conflating Michigan and Pennsylvania too, the court there also said that even if they don't have a postmark, they will assume that they had been mailed before election
or day. A postmark that can't be read.
Can't be read, correct.
Yeah. We've all seen those.
That right?
When the red ink's running out of the machine
right.
at the post office.
That is mind-boggling to me. And I think that's right. That's what Michigan State
because why?
Stated. Because you're making an assumption about a vote that very well may not be true. And one of the things, and I made this point on the Hamilton Corner, the issue is not with the post office. The issue is not with mailing. The issue is with the inability to verify the authenticity of the ballot. Usually, when someone secures an absentee ballot, they demonstrate their identity. They qualify for the absentee ballot to be issued to them, and the ballot is given to the person requesting it, as opposed to the potential for mail-in ballots. And this is just, maybe it's irony, maybe it's not, maybe it's divine providence, but you guys know I moved out of Louisiana almost 5 years ago. This week I received an invitation to vote by mail in Louisiana.
At your old address?
At my current address.
It was forwarded.
It was forwarded to me. No longer living in Louisiana.
Right.
And I haven't lived there for 5 years. And that literally just happened this week. And so it presents.
So why is that a problem? Because you could vote in Mississippi on
election day
and mail it in.
And I could vote in Louisiana potentially.
You might get away with that.
Well, because why would Mississippi and Louisiana be talking to each other about a man named Abraham Hamilton
III? They wouldn't.
They would not.
They would,
and there have been other people who've had similar circumstances where they received ballots at their home in the names of people who lived there before them.
Okay, here's another problem related to that. I think we all realize this, is that if the election results are really close and then somebody says, well, I'm the victor, right? And then, or I lost. But look at. But we got reports of a voter, fraud, a mail-in voter fraud, like what you just mentioned. We got people who voted twice, for example.
That's never happened before.
Right.
Well, just to put a number on it, Tim. According to the New York Times, the expectation is that roughly 80 million ballots will be mailed in to election offices.
Like what Abe got?
What
Abe got in
2020. 80 million. This is nationwide. That's a lot of votes.
Here's the other thing I have a question about. It seems to me like this would be up to the state legislature of Pennsylvania, not the state Supreme Court, to arbitrarily set a 14 day? Is that what you said?
14 days.
Okay. Why couldn't Pennsylvania Supreme Court say after 14 days, no, we're going to need another 14 days? Because, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yes.
So are we entering into something that the Constitution does not address?
Yes, the Constitution, well, it's yes and no. The Constitution does not govern state election law. However, the Constitution does govern the Electoral College. And the Constitution, the 12th Amendment, the 20th Amendment, as well as congressional statute, establishes hard and fast dates for Electoral College votes to be cast, as well as for the expiration of the existing presidential and vice presidential terms. Those dates cannot be amended by states.
All right, so we could possibly have a situation, and maybe likely we'll have a situation in which several states will not be able to figure out how to call their state. We're just talking for the purpose of this discussion about Trump v. Biden for president, okay? So states have to certify their election results. Usually I think that's the Secretary of State or something of a state. They have to certify the election results and say, this is the vote. This is how it came out. This is who won. You could have states that might not be able to figure that out by the time the Electoral College meets in December, right?
Yeah, I have the exact date for you. Title 3 of U.S. Code Section 7 says this, quote, the electors of president and vice president of each state shall meet and give their votes on the first Monday after the second Wednesday in December, next following their appointment at such place in each state as the legislature of such state shall direct. That day this year is December 14th, 2020.
So that does allow for some time. I wonder when that was written.
Well, I didn't look up the date that it was passed.
But that does allow some time for, for problems to be resolved, right? Or that might occur in a voting situation. You know, what if a town votes and then there's a tornado hit? And right, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know, a natural disaster. I'm just giving you for example that would allow maybe time anyway to get the correct and accurate information again before the December sitting or virtual, I guess, maybe mm-hmm. this year because of the coronavirus of the electoral college delegates.
Yeah. Yes, electors.
Electors. Now, I think if I were king for a day, and I know the Democrats would scream it because we already have one king, right?
We'd want it here.
King Trump. Tim. Right, that's what they say, a dictator. Yep. Nazi. Anyway, yeah, you'd want it here. But I think the best case scenario, maybe this is a situation in some states, is that the absentee votes are counted, are the mail-in votes. Those are both sent in the mail, but they're different, absentee and what was the other term?
Mail-in
ballots.
That is to be counted by Election Day. See what I'm saying? So that would seem to me the smart thing to do for states is to say, no, we have to have your vote. Even if it's in the mail, we have to have it so it can be tabulated by the night of the election so that you're tabulating votes as you go here. Mm-hmm. And so.
That is usually what's done with absentee ballots. There's normally a deadline that the ballot has to be mailed in by. That's a part of the qualification for absentee balloting.
This is from Forbes, their website, Forbes magazine. These states will process ballots before Election Day. This is mail-in votes and absentee ballots. This story is from Forbes. So before Election Day, Arizona, Colorado, Florida, Georgia, Iowa, Minnesota, Nevada, North Carolina, Ohio, and Texas. States counting 22 days before Election Day is Florida. States counting 15 days before Election Day, Colorado. So then they go to 2 weeks, 4 days before Election Day, Texas, and then Ohio's unclear. Other states count on Election Day. So that Michigan was one of those, and that's why people went to court, and Pennsylvania is also one of those. You have to count on Election Day, and these judges said, we don't care what the law is. We're saying X number of days after Election Day, you have to count these mail-in ballots. So to your point, Tim, these legislatures already set this up.
Okay.
The judges come in and say, no.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
I don't know what you do about that. Ultimately, I guess that would have to go to the Supreme Court of the United States.
Which makes the Ruth Bader Ginsburg seat vacancy all the more critical because make no mistake about it, whatever happens on November 3rd, it is going to end up at the Supreme Court.
Right. This is going to be like the 2000 election with the hanging chads.
You really think so?
In Florida.
Yes.
Yeah, because the Democrats have already, they're already in the process of hiring.
They've war roomed this.
And they have been hiring attorneys to state by state fight this battle.
Yeah. And let me be specific because I expect President Trump to win re-election, especially on Election Day.
You do?
I do. And I do not expect the Democrat Party to accept those results.
Yeah.
And they will immediately attempt to contest the election results in the courts. That's what I anticipate.
Well, you know, funny you should say that because Hillary Clinton, about 3 weeks ago, said that former Vice President Biden should not concede the election. And then she said this phrase, under any circumstances.
Yes.
And I thought to myself, what if clearly Trump has won you know, in enough states, maybe it's a, you know, to put him well over. Are you saying still? Because when you say under any circumstances, that don't concede. In other words, the vice president is not, should Biden lose, clearly, then he shouldn't call and concede. He shouldn't concede.
Well, I think we need to tie the two things together. What Hillary Clinton is saying, no matter what it looks like, Joe Biden, do not concede because it's not over until we go to court.
Okay. Yes. But sometimes these Democrats say things that they shouldn't say, like they say them out loud.
Yes.
Okay. They should say, and they should put more, at least you would think, a seasoned political person like Hillary Clinton would put a caveat on there or put a word in there to say, I would strongly encourage Vice President Biden to be careful about conceding too early.
Yeah.
Or something like that. But when you say, I've told Vice President Biden should not concede the election under any circumstances, you've tipped your hand.
Yep.
As to exactly what your intention is, and that is to refuse to accept the results of the election should your guys lose under any circumstances. And what that means, you know what that means, without putting something before that phrase is, I mean, wow, you're almost advocating a civil war, seems to me. Maybe not physical, but in the courts.
What do you think about that?
About what?
Yeah, well, one, I want to say I hope it doesn't end up that way. I'm not hoping for this to happen. That's just what I expect to happen. But I do agree with you, Tim. I mean, she could have easily said, well, in light of this being an unusual year, COVID-19 and things are happening, I would encourage the vice president to be careful about when and where to announce any concessions in the event that it doesn't appear that he's a winner in the first day. But with no caveat, it does reveal that, and it shows their intention. I played audio yesterday on the Hamilton Corner where Don Lemon, who, you know, he's not an erudite scholar, in my opinion, who said on national television that if the Democrats win, we need to blow up the entire system.
Yes.
With the Democrat win. So it just, these are things that are being said out loud for all the world to hear. Now, whether or not we believe they mean what they say, you know, I live by the idiom Maya Angelou said, when people tell you who they are, believe them.
Right.
You know, and so I do think this ultimately will be fought out in the courts. I the only thing that I think that would mute the steam for that type of litigation is a massive Trump win.
Right, a blowout.
But without a massive Trump win, this is going to land in the courts.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Stay with us. Can you stay around?
Yes.
We'll get back to this in a few minutes. Some other things to talk about related to the presidential election, but also Ray Comfort and Living Waters Ministry have done a video about the upcoming presidential election, which I wanted to make you aware of. It's targeted especially for Christians. And Ray joins us now from Southern California. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim.
Hey, those fires, are they near you anywhere?
Oh, they're about 20 miles away, but we're fortunate we're not orange like San Francisco.
Yeah.
But you can see where you're breathing.
I know. But I just noticed, I know you were in the Los Angeles area, but I just noticed yesterday that there were some fires breaking out. In that.
It's unique to wake up in the morning and hear the birds coughing.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. I don't know if your one-liners are going to work there with your fellow Californians, but maybe they are.
It worked here.
It worked here because we're not experiencing it. Hey, Ray, tell us about the new video you guys did.
Yeah, we produced a video called Should Christians Vote for Biden or Trump? It's like we rolled a hand grenade into with a pinout into Huntington Beach and just went and asked people. And we set up a rant booth where people could get on camera inside a booth and just say what they thought of Trump or Biden. It opens with a guy slapping a guy across the face, so it sets the tone of the whole thing. But our motive in doing it was to say to Christians, this is not about personality, because we have people write in the comments, I don't like Trump or Biden, so I'm not going to vote. It's not about personalities. It's about abortion, the human lives are at stake, and if we've got a moral obligation to vote and to say, I'm going to stand up and be salt and light. I'm going to stand against evil and stand up for righteousness. That's what this is about. And so we want to encourage people to watch it and to share it. We're also redirecting people to our 180 movie, which has got eight people who are adamantly pro-abortion, becoming pro-life in a matter of seconds because they were asked one question, had millions of views, gave away a million DVDs. And so we want people to watch that and share it. It's called 180, and the other one's called Should Christians Vote for Biden or Trump? And it's on livingwaters.com.
Ed?
Yeah, Ray, I watched your the video, the most recent one you did, Should People Vote for Trump or Biden? Is very, as always, very well done. But I did notice how contentious people were. I saw the one where I think it was the Trump guy slaps the Biden supporter. So you are one of the boldest guys I've ever met, and certainly one of the boldest I've ever seen. Was there any point in that when you're filming this where you thought maybe I made a mistake tossing this hand grenade in here because I could get punched out? Was there ever a time when you felt like you might be in danger? Because this issue of Trump versus Biden, people go off like a rocket.
Yeah, it is very volatile. No, I didn't feel at all intimidated, and I never do because I'm too short. See, people, there's no challenge to punch me.
And so you asked for it, Ed.
Yeah, so this is true. That's true no matter what you're talking to people about, right?
That's right. I preach there every Saturday, and even with the COVID thing, we just put a microphone 6 feet away, and people come up. And so I like a good, angry heckler because he calls in people to listen and gets people to watch our YouTube channel. So I'm fine with that. Just a soft answer turns away wrath. And seriously, the little guy really does help. I've had guys 6'6" come up and say, I'm going to hit you. And I say, are you crazy? Look at this crowd. They're going to turn against you. Look at my height. And he backs down. And so it does work.
You also got a reboot of the 180 film, right?
Yeah, I was just mentioning before, eight people who are adamantly pro-abortion changing their mind in seconds because they were asked one question. It's very moving. It's a lifesaver. Had people come to a ministry with babies in arms to say, I was going to have this child aborted, but I watched 180 and changed my mind and just brought my baby to thank you. And so it's a lifesaver. So it's called 180, and you can find it at livingwaters.com. And, Tim, we've got you as one of our guest speakers in a Salt and Light conference coming up next month. Do you know the rules?
No, tell me.
Yeah, it's called a 15-minute conference. We've got 10 speakers, I think 11 speakers, and they're not allowed to speak more than 15 minutes. You get shot if you talk over 15 minutes. We've got a timer. And it's really good because it makes sure that you bring the cream out of what you want to say.
Right.
You know, sometimes preachers go on a little bit long, maybe a couple of hours longer than they should. Well, let's make sure nobody does. And so you haven't even got a chance to doze off. And it's a unique conference. We've had about our fifth one, I think. And we've got you as one of our guest speakers. And people can find details at livingwaters.com.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Absolutely. That 180 film is just amazing.
That's one of the best things I've ever seen.
Yes, you need to watch this, folks. 180. It's about people who it shows people and interviews people who've had their minds changed after watching a sonogram, an ultrasound, and other things.
Well, and Ray asks a question. It really is so well done. I got a bunch of those. Bought a bunch of those when the first time he came out. And
that's about 3 years old, I think.
And folks, you need to go to. I do disagree with Ray about the 15 minutes. As a preacher myself, Abe can speak for himself. Ray, you just can't get a good sermon in 15 minutes.
Abe can speak for himself for a long time.
Yes.
Yeah. How many preachers have you heard say, as we begin to draw to a close, and you think, sure, it's just a meaningless preacher's statement?
I hate it when other preachers do it.
Chapter 3. Yeah. I hate it when there's a delay on the phone, so you're over talking to each other.
What did you say? All right.
Yeah.
We're talking to Ray Comfort. By the way, on our Today's Issues Facebook page, we put the links in case you're already there and want to go there. quickly to the videos we're talking about, produced by Living Waters Ministries, Ray Comfort, and they are doing a excellent job in evangelizing and reaching people for Christ and also changing hearts and minds on biblical matters that are a matter of law and public policy. Thank you, Ray. Appreciate it.
God bless you guys. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues. You still there, Fred?
I am still here. Enjoying the conversation.
I am curious, where are you getting this idea that Trump's going to win?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, one of the
because it doesn't look like it in the polls I'm looking at.
Yeah, and it's one of those things. I mean, we probably all know this anecdotally. How many people who receive a phone call or something from a pollster and say, hey, who are you voting for in this election? They're going to say out loud they're going to vote for President Trump. Mm. When we saw that in 2016. But the main reason is having the opportunity to travel with the AFA Action Town Halls, meeting people. It's an amazing energy from people who want to vote for President Trump, you know. And
yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, it's not based on polling data. Right. It's based on a combination of knowing that one, most people in America don't want the whole country on fire as a Marxist experiment. And in addition to that, a lot of people recognize what the president was able to do prior to the coronavirus circumstance. And many of them leading up to March of this year, there were many people who did not vote for President Trump who were saying that they were going to vote for President Trump in his reelection effort. So it's a gut feeling combined with my interactions with people as I've had the opportunity to travel around the country.
Yeah, but how many Biden supporters do you hang out with?
Yeah. I mean, my hometown is heavily Democratic. So I know some, and the ones who
New
I
Orleans
do know, yeah, New Orleans, Louisiana, the ones who I know who are supporting Joe Biden, they're not very enthusiastic about it.
No.
They're not very passionate about it. They're not eager to do so. It's like, I guess, Fred, whereas Trump supporters are the opposite.
You look at the energy, these Trump rallies, he drops into these airports, he has these rallies. What was it? 30,000 showed up at one of these rallies back a couple of weeks ago? And you compare that, image is so important in politics. You compare that when you see Joe Biden on TV. He's at a podium all by himself, and he might have 8 friendly reporters sitting in chairs, social distancing in front of him. When he went up to Kenosha there a few weeks ago, he had a town hall meeting with 8 people in the room. I mean, when you talk about image, I mean, it's easy to get excited, regardless, you know, if you're apolitical even. It's easy to kind of feel the energy from what you're seeing with President Trump versus Joe Biden walking out. The other day, he did a whole speech with a mask on. A whole speech with a mask on.
Is that the one where it sounds like he's about to fall asleep? Talking?
When he began to speak, we had this audio, I think, yesterday. You know, we've talked about his...
Is that the one where he's breathing? Is that a different one?
No. This is... We've talked about his mental capabilities. This was physical. Like, he didn't have breath to finish his sentences.
I know, I heard that. Well, I'm not saying... Don't misunderstand me, folks who listen to this program. I'm not... You also believe President Trump's going to win, don't you, Fred?
I think it's going to be a huge victory.
Okay.
Wow. That's what you think too, isn't it, Abe? That it's
I didn't say a huge victory.
Okay.
But you said win.
Yeah, I think he's going to win.
A win is a huge victory, really. I mean, yeah. As far as what he's been facing, the president, because it really is Donald Trump versus the world.
Yes, it is.
I mean, absolutely versus the world.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of institutions being against him.
Yes.
Even other countries.
Yes. When Michael Bloomberg's willing to buy the felon vote in Florida, you know you're up against the world. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.